This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean, Second Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Dog.
Unchaperoned me at the Circa. Yeah. That's what's going on. Left the kids, left the wife, left them to do their own thing, got down here, maintained the same schedule, sat at Saginaw's, did some prep. So I'm ready to go, Sean.
Love it. Yeah. Unfortunately, couldn't sell my wife on doing Christmas in Vegas. Well, Ryan, and we got to get to this because it connects right to you are out there, obviously, to do the show, but also historic NFL matchup. First time we've ever seen two teams coming into a game on a 9-game losing streak. The Raiders versus the Giants. In what some are calling the Cold War of tanking because right now, it's an arms race to see. And I saw the JVT clip that Humans played in the earlier show comparing it to the Cold War. And that's what we got right now. The Raiders have ruled out Brock Bowers. They've also ruled out a number of players. The Giants ruling out, a number of offensive linemen. Ryan, as a guy going to the game, this has to be exciting. Of course, Max Crosby, he got ruled out. They told him they were shutting him down for the season. He said, peace, I'm out of here. And and Pete Carroll goes, all right, yeah, I guess you can leave. What's going on?
I don't want to call Max Crosby Derek Carr, but has same vibes. I believe it's also only the fifth time that there's been two teams with 13 losses to face off in not the last game of the season. I mean, the Max Crosby news is very intriguing. As someone who likes integrity, I like, when I'm wagering on a game, I like to understand that the things are on the up and up. It seems like Max Crosby is healthy and the team said, no, we're going to send you home. I will say if it's a tank off, based on the Brock Bowers getting shut down while healthy and the Max Crosby getting shut down while healthy, I'll say this, the Giants haven't shut down anyone healthy. So if you're looking at that from that perspective, that's why we've seen the numbers shift from the Giants as a short dog to the Raiders as a short dog. I think everyone is starting to realize the Raiders aren't trying. Now, my hesitation is that I'm not based on the play calling, the film bros have gotten into the Kafka game plan the last couple weeks. My goodness, the route combinations with Dable looked a little better. Let's just put it that way. So I don't know how you get involved in this game. Now, I will be involved because I'm going, and stay tuned to the TD segment later. I do have an anytime touchdown. We're going to throw it back to a big hit earlier in the year. But I think there's ways to wager on the game. I just wouldn't take a side, Sean.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting game to pick. We'll break it down later. But when we did our picks podcast earlier in the week, the Raiders were 1.5-point favorite. Now they're a 2.5-point dog. And Max Crosby has been dealing with the knee issue. And so that's probably why they sat him down. Brock Bowers, I don't know what the official injury potential shenanigans. But Kramer, on your side, Andrew Thomas, if this was a playoff game, would Andrew Thomas be out there?
No, he hurt his hamstring last week. We saw this in the massacre against the Cowboys a couple of years ago to start the season. A hamstring injury kept him out, I think, 6 or 7 weeks. So no reason to rush a big man back on a hamstring injury. And I think in all reality, I don't think there was any chance he was going to be playing this week anyway. Sure, you can. The Max, a player sending himself home because he's mad he's not able to play, that seems egregious beyond teams maybe hoping to get the first pick.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see because I think I still think the motivation probably lies with the Raiders because Pete Carroll, I think, realizes he's going to get fired regardless. So I think he'd like to win. Mike Kafka apparently not interested in coaching for a NFL head coaching job because I mean, they called 13 runs to start the game against the Minnesota Vikings. That to me is not someone who's trying to game plan and win the game. So I think he got a directive from management to say, do whatever you want to do, but do not let Jackson Dart take shots. And the way you don't do that is don't let Jackson Dart run the ball. And the way you do that is by taking it out of his hands and handing the ball off. Do you think something's going on? Like, I mean, he had like 9 pass attempts in that game. Clearly management has stepped in and say, protect Jackson Dart, right? Or what do you think?
Local media pressed Kafka on the issue on why aren't you calling designed runs for Jackson Dart? His answer was that they've had the same amount of designed runs in the game plan the entire time. It was a bad, it was a non-answer. Now, all of that being said, I agree with you. Like I said, the film bros have been breaking it down. Even when he is dropping back, the pass concepts aren't the same as they were earlier in the year. They don't seem to be working. He's even been frustrated. He's been asked about it. He's very PC in his responses, but you can tell that I think this interim experience has not gone well for Jackson Dart. And, you know, I think a lot of people hoping to turn the page the next year. Now, that being said, Sean, every week we come out here and, you know, you can kind of get a vibe of the visiting fans. It's been a weird schedule this year with some Monday night games and such, but there are more Giants. The Circa is kind of, not at peak form, not a bunch of sporting events going on over the next 2 days, but there are a ton of Giants fans here, Sean. Earlier at the NFL slot machine, I was just minding my business playing. Guys next to me, they're like, yeah, we got to play as the Giants. Other side of me playing as the Giants. I think the first time ever the slot machine has been 3/4 NFL Giants. And weird story too. I was chatting up with them. Turned out one of the guys was from my hometown. Was a brother of someone I went to high school with. Regardless, there's a lot of Giants fans here, which I guess they kept the tickets because they paid all the money and they're going to make the trip out to Vegas anyway. Vegas is a place you can still go, I guess, even if the team is miserable.
Yeah, it could be worse. It's not like you're ended up in Lambeau, which is certainly a fun stadium to visit, but if your team's eliminated and you got to go watch, you know, at least you're in a climate controlled environment. You're in a dome. Maybe you see some fun scoring plays. You have a rookie quarterback that you can talk yourself into and some reason for hope. But I mean, let's talk about now with that. We had 3 games on Christmas. The craziest outcome was the Vikings winning outright. I mean, Max Brosmer certainly did not look good by any means, only 51 passing yards. I think they had 3 net passing yards with 48 yards lost to sacks. And yet still they get the victory because Jared Goff and the turnovers for the Lions. And now that win for the Vikings eliminates the Lions and essentially locks up the 7 NFC teams. Now, they are obviously still playing for seeding, winning the division there, but the teams themselves are locked up for the NFC. What's your and this is kind of interesting too, because it seems very related. When we were talking earlier in the week about the Packers game versus the Ravens, I thought, hey, Jordan Love, he's limited right now coming back from that concussion. Usually that means if this guy's practicing and he's already got a limited practice earlier in the week, that means he's trending towards playing. But now I didn't think the Vikings were going to win outright. So now that the Vikings won outright, the Packers have their playoff. They're locked into the wild card. Now it feels very related that they downgraded Jordan Love and are starting Malik Willis, right?
Is we talked about this on the show when it was 2.5, wondering, is this a, you know, Jordan Love versus Snoop Huntley? Is this a Malik Willis versus Snoop Huntley? It seems like it was closer to the Malik Willis versus Snoop Huntley, but even then, I guess there was a little bit of Lamar in there because we still have seen this number move on the other side of 3. We talked about some of these correlated parlays that, as it turns out, a lot of people providing feedback that a lot of books have gotten sharp to this. And so,
they won't let you do them.
Couldn't necessarily build them like you could in the past. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of shocking. I mean, yeah, Packers not as much to play for. I believe they can still kind of move around a little bit. And there's an out. I don't believe the Bears have technically clinched, have they? Maybe it's because of the tie. I think there's a chance. But most likely, they're in where they're going to be in. And I guess you let Love recover an extra week. Malik Willis has played well in limited situations. I don't quite get it. Honestly, I'm perplexed on this game in general now. because, you know, obviously the Ravens need to win the game. The Packers don't necessarily need to win the game. These are tricky ones. Sometimes the motivation doesn't matter. We'll dive in deeper later, but I got to be honest. I think I'm a little surprised that Love isn't playing. The reports seem to be that he was on track to play. So call it a, slowing down of the protocol this time of year. I still think I'm on the Packers because of how we've seen this Ravens team play, but certainly the Ravens have become a much stronger side.
Yeah, no. And correction. Yeah. Cause obviously whoever wins the NFC South, that seed has not been set. So that'll be interesting how that shakes out over the next couple of weeks here. And crazy that the Vikings are now 8-8. I'm still feeling pretty good about some of my Vikings fades, but now all of a sudden they're right back in the mix there for their win total. And a lot of these win totals are going to come right down to the wire. Other big game, I guess, Broncos Chiefs. What do you make of the Broncos, Ryan, surviving the Chiefs? We were both on the Chiefs catching 13.5. They were certainly live to win that game, but this seems to be the Broncos team we know and love. They play down to the competition. They're not good as huge favorites. They play up to competition for the most part. Are you worried about, I heard someone comparing the Broncos to the Tennessee Titans as kind of a fraudulent one seed. Do you see them making a run still in the playoffs?
I think they might be a little fraudulent. Also, I called it. This was the B game plan. Sean Payton didn't bring it, just like that Raiders game. They did enough to get by. And, man, I would have loved to sweat my Chiefs-Falcons moneyline parlay to Monday night.
Yes, we got a lot going on. We're going to pick every NFL game against the spread, as we've done since 2011. We got our TD props. We got some ladders. All that and much more. But coming up next, Saturday NFL action. Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN, Sean Second Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Kramer, happy Friday.
Hey, you got me again. I don't like this game you've been playing lately. It's called Stealing My Awesome Bits.
Yes, look out. Hey, have you guys signed up with ProfitX? If not, what are you waiting for? A new user purchase match. That's right. Sign up offer now, 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash. That's ProfitX. And of course, use the promo code VSiN over there. Shout out to ProfitX. Available in 40 plus states. That's right. And a 20% match up to $100 in bonus cash. Kramer, we got some Saturday NFL action. This is just an awesome time. We got three games on Thursday. No NFL on today, but then we got two games Saturday, bunch of games Sunday, Monday Night Football. Let's go.
Yeah, we all know about the hostile takeover of Christmas. I saw the NBA heads were really upset about the NFL planting their flag. This was a surrender. College football said, no, we're not going to show up on this weekend. You guys can have it all to yourself. So we got some Saturday NFL, which if there's one thing that wives and girlfriends hate, they've gotten used to Thursday night. They understand Sunday, but Saturday football, it's still
like, no, hey, we just did three games on Christmas Day, and now we're supposed to be hanging out with my family, and there's more Christmas Saturday action. They can't keep it to Sunday. Like, sorry, honey, the league's a wagon.
Well, just imagine in 2027 when everyone realizes the Super Bowl is on Valentine's Day. That's going to be
don't bring that up.
That's going to be a tricky situation. I mean, Roger Goodell has done a lot of good for football. I don't know if this was necessarily a positive. All right, Saturday football. Let's go in order. We're going out of rotation order here because, you know, we have to set the rotation back in May. So the Houston Chargers, the Houston Texans and the Los Angeles Chargers, the Chargers in a spot that will be a rare home game, I believe, for them. I don't see the Texans fans showing up big over the holiday weekend. Chargers laying a point has come in a little bit since we discussed this one earlier in the week on the podcast, Sean. 39.5 is the total. You know, the Chargers very much still alive to go after the division. I mean, basically their game is they got to win this week and then beat the Broncos next week. Texans also, basically in, can't do much with their seeding at this point, I believe. Sean, what's your take on?
They can still win the division.
Oh, right? You're right. I've already accounted a win for the Jags.
I know in your mind, the idea of the Jags not winning every game is a virtual impossibility, but the Texans very much are still alive in the division. Ah. So obviously they'd be playing for that seed, certainly.
All right. So allegedly alive for the division. Now they know they're going to beat Phillip Rivers and the Colts. So what's your take here? Because to me, this Chargers team is quietly walking into a situation where they might be a little bit slept on going into the postseason, assuming they don't beat the Broncos next week and end up winning the division. No offensive line. It's been all Justin Herbert. Superhero performance all season by him. And this Houston team has been playing off good offense as of late, but we kind of, you know, I don't necessarily trust it yet. So I'm on the Chargers laying the points simply because I think CJ Stroud has it in him to play a dud, and going against the Minter defense, some of the tricky zones. I wonder if that's going to be tough for CJ Stroud. So I'm laying the points with the Chargers, Sean. How about you?
No, thanks. Yeah. Give me the Texans. I think this is a nice spot for the Texans. This Texans defense going against this Chargers offensive line. And yeah, Herbert has been, getting by, I would say. He hasn't really excelled against very good defenses. I mean, I just keep looking at that game against the Jags where he only had 81 passing yards. Yeah, he carved up the Chargers. We were all over that. He carved up the Cowboys, which, again, every Cowboys. I mean, Josh Johnson was looking pretty good against this Cowboys defense. I think you're going to see a deliberate Texans team, and I think they're going to be able to turn over Justin Herbert. And I get it. Like, the Chargers defense is playing a little bit better. That was a little bit of a down game by the Texans at home against the Raiders. But I think that was more just about kind of looking past their opponent here to this big game on a short week against the Chargers. And this Texans team as a dog has just been really, really good. And you look at Justin Herbert, his career, he struggled against good competition. He's 15-23 straight up against teams above 500. And we saw the Texans defense really have this team figured out with a healthy offensive line in the playoffs. I think they're going to get home here against the Chargers. I like the Texans big here. I think if you like the Texans too, also play them in an alt here, like -3.5, because I think they could win by at least the score here. So yeah, give me the Texans all day.
It sounds like you're putting a star next to this one, maybe in the pleaser conversation later with CJ.
Yeah, no, certainly. Like some of these teams that are small dogs that I think can win outright are always very fun on the pleaser card. I mean, similar to the Eagles, who are like a +1.5 dog. If you think they can win 6.5, certainly that's on the pleaser card. But going back to this, like, yeah, the Chargers might not have the stadium taken over, but when it's just a Chargers game, it's not a super dynamic home environment that's going to carry them. And yeah, I think they're probably a little bit more focused on the game. I don't know. I think both teams are going to be focused. This to me is just more the Texans defense against this Chargers offensive line is going to be really a struggle. And yeah, Justin Herbert ran for 60 yards. They got 5 turnovers. That's the only way they survived against a good Eagles defense. If they're not going to get 5 turnovers against CJ Stroud, if they're not going to get multiple turnovers from CJ Stroud, I don't think they got a shot in this game because the Texans defense is legit.
The other thing worth noting we didn't discuss yet is that Phillip Rivers himself will be rooting for the Chargers as the Texans or the Colts need the Texans to lose to stay alive in the postseason. So I don't know what kind of mystical powers Phillip Rivers has. He seems to have some coming back to the NFL 5 years later, but he will be rooting for his Chargers. All right, we disagree on that one. Next one, and honestly, we keep the pleaser conversation going because the Ravens and the Packers probably fits that formula as well, depending on which side you like. This one, like we kind of talked in the open, there's been the line movement. It started 2.5. Uncertainty on both teams. Would they go with their starters, Love and Lamar Jackson? Are they going to go with backups, Willis and Snoop Huntley? It seemed more likely that Baltimore was going that route. It seems like the Love decision was reactive to Minnesota winning and kind of locking up where the Packers stand. Now the line sits 3. There are some 3.5s out there. Here at the Circa, it's Green Bay -3, -115. Willis has shown moments of looking like a competent quarterback. I think certainly if you're a team that fancies themselves a contender, that's the kind of backup quarterback you want, can come in, can handle a 2-3 game stretch. Meanwhile, Snoop Huntley's kind of been the same thing in his career. He's had a win this year. This Ravens team, you know, was, I guess it says a lot about Lamar a little bit that they can, you know, churn it out without him. Maybe that helps them lean on the run game more where they don't necessarily do that by default. I was heavily on the Packers at 2.5 earlier in the week on Tuesday when we spoke, Sean. And a lot of that was I just thought the line was going to grow based on the quarterback news. Now, we got the negative news from Green Bay. We got the expected news from Baltimore. And we're still in a position where I have some CLV. But I'm going to stick with the Packers here, laying the 3 points. Thought about a Benedict situation and flipping sides. But I do still think I like this Green Bay team. I like the way the team has been playing as compared to this Ravens team. So I'll lay it at home for the Packers.
Well, Ryan, first off, congratulations. Step one of being a tout is announcing how you got a much better number in pocket than currently for the market. And it takes a bold man because, I'm sure it's a plus EV move to take the Ravens +3. And you got good outcomes on both sides. No, I'm with you. I, as much as it's fun to say Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love, whatever, I, as someone who's also on Packers -2.5, I thought Jordan Love was going to play. I thought the Lions weren't going to lose that game, and I thought the Packers would be needing this. That being said, I still kind of like a Malik Willis. He is a dynamic runner, and I think if you're not preparing for that, he is kind of a tough out. And you saw him come in that Bears game cold, literally cold, and play really good football. I mean, with the exception of that snap, that fumble in overtime, I thought he played really well. And this to me is just the fate of this Ravens team. I've been pounding the table all season long saying this Ravens team isn't right. I didn't think Lamar was going to play through his back bruise. That's seemingly we have a history of him not kind of playing through stuff and injury shenanigans with the Ravens. I still think it's more than a back bruise or there's other injuries that have compounded him because he has not looked 100%. He has not looked dynamic at all. He hasn't looked the Lamar of old. So at home here, this Ravens team feels kind of cooked. So I will happily lay the points here with the Packers. Go, Pack, go. When we return, first any and many, our favorite touchdown bets right here, Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN. Sean Sacco, the Money Green, with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Sean, I was doing some scouting at some other sports books, and I got to be honest, if we'll get to the tail of the tape later in the show, but I may have I found a performance-enhancing sports book when it comes to serious length. If you want to go long like Jimmy Johnson once did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, still, I had Kramer help me out with some tape measuring so I could still get my paper ticket in. Kramer, New Year's Eve right around the corner, closing out 2025 strong. And you know VSiN has got you covered. Of course, VSiN by the book, 7 a.m., numbers, and then a numbers game, prop points, money moves, follow the money, VSiN prime time and cashing out, going deep into the night. And again, you're counting down 2026, kicking off the new year. VSiN will be there, real-time betting coverage. We got the college football playoff, NFL, NBA, so much more. Again, tune in all year, but especially New Year's Eve. Live programming all day over on VSiN. course, your home for nonstop sports betting action. All right, Kramer, first, any and many our patented touchdown segment. If you've been following along, of course, I hit my Justin Herbert anytime touchdown last week, 6-1. That was a nice cash. What do we got going this week, Kramer? What do you like for your first touchdown?
Herbert's price always seems too long. And so, yeah, good job on you getting that one in. All right, so let's start with first touchdowns. I will have a first touchdown card for both Saturday games. And like I mentioned in the break to you, Sean, I think Malik Willis 20-1 will be on that card. But for the TD segment, I went right to Sunday Night Football. Of course, all the primetime games at Kramer Centric on X. Cards come out for free. I'm going a little shorter this week. We heard nothing but how the Colts were going to get right against the Niners rush defense because the Niners have not been good against the run. It didn't really work out that way, but why not keep pounding that drum? San Francisco 24th in DVOA rush defense. They're 20th to the running back, according to DVOA, 23rd, according to EPA per play. And what did Ben Johnson say this week? Which is funny considering the sweat that you had with Kyle Manungai. But we need to prioritize Kyle in the short yardage stuff. He's 11-1 for the first touchdown. I don't think the San Francisco run defense got much better. And I honestly think they were a little surprised to see Phillip Rivers go after him like that last week. I think Ben Johnson saying it out loud, plus the matchup, love the price here, 11-1 for Kyle Manungai. And Sean, I think I'll end up playing his two touchdowns as well for this game.
Yeah, I mean, what you have going for you, Ryan, is I had Kyle Manungai last week for first touchdown. And, of course, Ben Johnson, 4th and inches on the Packers 5. They have not been stopping Manungai for that portion of the game. What do? They run Cole Kmet under center, and then they hike it underneath Cole Kmet's legs to Kyle Manungai in a direct snap fake out. And, of course, goes over Kyle Manungai's head. And he does not get in. I do not cash my first touchdown parlay, which was alive and well for a long portion in that game. It was an incredible sweat, so I'm not even really that mad. But that's what you have going for you, Ryan. That bastard Ben Johnson, he's probably going to give Kyle Manungai the play there. I'm going in that game. I'm going with the Bear. I'm attacking it the other way. I get what you're saying about the 49ers defense, but I saw the 49ers secondary get carved up by Phillip Rivers and some dusty receivers by the Indianapolis Colts. Kramer, you were on Zacchaeus 2 weeks ago or last week for to get two touchdowns. Yeah, and I thought the play was directionally correct. So congrats there. he was a big part of the game plan, had 5 targets. There just wasn't a ton of scoring in that game. I think there might be a lot more scoring in this game. And, you know, you still have Odunze is out. Some of the Luther Burden, he is a full participant, but he was a little banged up. I think they're going to challenge him in the air. So I think you're right. If they get down inside that 10 and 5 yard line, Manungai is going to get a lot of work. But I don't think it's crazy to see a big deep shot here. And our boy OZ, a.k.a. Olamide Zacchaeus, to get the first touchdown here. Nice price at 27-1. Consider we just saw Phillip Rivers light him up last Monday. And we'll get to it when we break this game in depth, but huge rest difference. The Bears played on Saturday. The 49ers played on Monday. I don't hear a lot of people highlighting that. So I think that could be a big difference here. Kramer, what about your anytime touchdown? What do you got?
Well, it gets in the way of the narrative that the Niners are going to win out and win the Super Bowl. That seems to be the more popular narrative out there, is how the Niners are on their way to a 1 seed and then they'll have an easy path to the Super Bowl. I'm with you. I think the Bears are being a little bit forgotten on Sunday night there. All right, anytime touchdown. We talked about this man earlier in the season. I believe it was 16 or 17-1. He's a backup tight end. And he is an interesting way to get involved betting on the Giants Raiders game. You know, Andrew Thomas is going to be out. Andrew Thomas being out is pretty much worse than Lane Johnson for the Giants. And that's going to mean a lot more Daniel Bellinger bolted onto the line of scrimmage blocking. Now add on top of that, that Theo Johnson's been dealing with a little illness and a case of the drops. Daniel Bellinger plus 750 to get in the end zone just one time Jackson Dart has spoken about it. There have been times when he's out there that there's been a positive freestyling, which means, again, I think Daniel Bellinger is going to be out there a ton, whether it's blocking or because Theo Johnson isn't 100%. And again, it's not 16 or 17 to one, whatever we got last time, but it's still a ridiculous price for a guy who will be on the field in the red zone. And Sean, I know that both teams are trying to not win, but that usually results in some points. So maybe there'll be some more points in this game. Both defenses have been bad. Daniel Bellinger, big price to get in the anytime. And I did a silly way too late parlay last night that includes him in it. So retirement fund if we get a Daniel Bellinger activate.
So you are predicting they'll allow Jackson Dart to throw the football, Ryan, because you're going to need a few more pass attempts if you're going to get into the red zone and get some points. That would be my only concern, but I do like the long shot touchdowns, especially in that game. No, I was going to say, speaking of long shot TDs, give me Tank Bigsby 10-1. He had one last week. And the entire sideline was going nuts. I know they like Tank Bigsby. They want to get him more involved. Of course, backup running back for the Eagles. But, 4-for-37 and a touchdown. He broke off a 22-yard run. This game could be pretty interesting. I mean, Eagles and Bills are kind of locked somewhat in a situation here. I mean, I guess if the Pats end up losing outright to the Jets, it creates some opportunity here for the Bills. Josh Allen's a little bit banged up. It's and again, Lane Johnson, you mentioned him, Ryan. It was seemingly like by these media leaks that he was going to come back this week. Didn't end up practicing. He's not going to go on Sunday. So it seems like they're being cautious bringing him back with that foot injury. All that to be said, I think they might have a slightly cautious approach here with Saquon Barkley, who looked good against Washington when they needed it to win the division. Wouldn't be surprised if maybe they get Tank Bigsby some more reps here, especially late in the game. He could break one off. I think this is a fun 2-touchdown play. I also played him 2 touchdowns. It's 170-1. We've seen how bad the Bills are to the running back. They lead the league in 18 rushing touchdowns allowed. I think Tank Bigsby might have a couple carries inside the red zone and or break one off. So 10-1, Tank Bigsby, anytime touchdown. And Trevor, what do you like for your 2 TDs?
Well, I was going to say, and I think you see, I'm going to play that 2-touch. I think you see everything you need to know with Tank Bigsby's last touchdown price being 27-1, which tells you they now I think this is mispriced. I think the Eagles are much more likely to pull they really don't have a ton to play for. It's 2 seed or 3 seed. And I think there's a very real, I think the idea that Tank Bigsby is 10-1 on the anytime market is an incorrect price. Well done. 2 touchdowns. Now, Sean, we might have the greatest game that a tight end will ever see in the Bengals taking on the Cardinals. And I went up to dig up some numbers because Cincinnati's been a print fest to play the tight end. And I love Trey McBride, 1 touchdown plus 110, 2 touchdowns, 8-1. But Arizona's actually taken the throne, now 32nd to the tight end, according to DVOA. Mike Gesicki, 2 touchdowns, is 27-1. He's plus 275 on the anytime. Love this play. I'll be parlaying some touchdown props in this one for sure. It's number 32 versus number 31 in DVOA against the tight end, Arizona, Cincinnati. Gesicki gets 2.
Yeah, they're both horrible against the tight end. Maybe a Gesicki 2 touchdowns, Cardinals money line. Even though I like the Bengals, that would be a sick same game parlay. For me, I'm going long shot here with the 2 touchdowns. Give me Luke Musgrave, one of the few Packer pass catching tight ends available for this game. If you saw when Malik Willis came in, he liked throwing the ball to Musgrave, and Musgrave 24 routes, number one in the team last week. So him to get in the end zone twice against this Ravens defense, 100-1, sign me up. More NFL picks when we return, Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN. Sean Second Green with my partner on picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Just ran down to the window in the break to get some more sheets. Was shopping. The best part about the Saturday games is the first touchdown parlays that I'll leave with.
Oh, yes.
Just a thick man. Stack.
All right. I gotta text you some because I got the sweat last week. I hit on Devonta Smith. If you remember when we did Tale of the Tape, I listed out, hey, I got four Eagles parlayed with three Bears. Yeah, I'm going to be sending you some parlay combos, Ryan, so stay tuned. Hey, if you're looking for extra action, of course, you got to sign up over at First Bet. That's right. The number one, stbet.com. Love the First Bet app. I use this thing a bunch. It's great for a big race, or if you're just looking to kill some time, hop in. Or if you are a daily horse grinder, you cannot beat the First Bet app. They have a bunch of built-in tools. But really, my favorite part is the ability to watch the races in the app without having to like change a bunch of windows or get some weird stream. It's very easy to watch. And the best part is, of course, this sweet bonus. You get up to a $250 sign-up bonus. Get started today. That's VSiN250 over at First Bet, the app, or 1stbet.com, promo code VSiN250. Kramer, we got some more NFL action. What are we doing here on Sunday?
We were just talking about this one. Two of the worst defenses in the National Football League to the tight end. The Arizona Cardinals taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincy. Seems like the Bengals are still playing all their players so Joe Burrow can have fun. They're laying 7 here against the Cardinals. It seems like maybe the expiration date on Jacoby Brissett has passed. I've heard a lot of, I will say, if there was a public dog just based on overhearing people walking up to the window, a lot of people talking about the back door and the Arizona Cardinals here. I think the Bengals are a great teaser leg, but I love them even more at -7, Sean. And I think I would please this one because I see this game going very similar to the Miami game last week. Arizona very banged up. Arizona, you know, nearing the end. And I just think if this turns into some sort of shootout here, the way that the Cincy run game, the Cincy pass game, and honestly, their defense has even been playing. I think they're live on the defense of any time in this one. I think this one gets out of control. Lay the points with Cincy.
No, I'm with you. And just looking at the Cardinals injury report, Buda Baker out with a concussion. All three of the other cornerbacks for the Cardinals are on the injury report. They're going to go, but their game status is still questionable. And you want to talk about a team that's probably secretly tanking. I mean, the Cardinals need a quarterback, right? It's not going to be Kyler Murray. You're not going to sell the franchise that Jacoby Brissett's the future. I mean, he's putting up stats with Michael Wilson, but and Josh Sweat not practicing, Walter Nolan, the rookie D lineman who we're really high on, Ryan. He has just not been able to stay healthy. He's done for the year. So I think this Cardinals defense was really bad. And they got carved up by the Falcons at home. Now you go against this Bengals team and ask any Bengals fan, when do the Bengals show up? It's when they've been eliminated from the playoffs. They light teams up. They give you hope going into next year. I think the Bengals roll here. So that's interesting that you think, what is VSiN's betting splits? Again, great reason to sign up for VSiN, but what do the betting splits say? I imagine a lot of people are on the Bengals. I don't mind taking the public side here, laying 7, but what's the bet split say?
So over at the Green Book, 70-30, here at the Circa, it's 80% of the bets, but the handle is split 50-50, which does not line up with what I've been hearing with my ears. But as you know, the guy's hanging out in the book on a Friday watching UTSA taking on FIU. I don't know if they're the sharpest bunch, but just seems like just the general discourse, and maybe it's who I'm listening to, but
well, you're hanging out with Cousin Mush, Ryan. So that's probably why.
This is not one that he loved, I would say.
Oh, okay.
He was actually one of the, the Cardinals can get in that back door. I would even go further. Why is this not moved past 7? It looks like it's going to come in before it goes out too. So
That's a little scary to me being on the Bengals is I think this should be closer to 10 than 7, honestly.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we'll be talking about this one again in the pleaser segment. All right, both on the Bengals laying the points. Seahawks, Panthers, low-key good jersey matchup, but also, Panthers, what do they have to play for in this game? Well, they can certainly win the game, and the Bucks can lose the game, and they can wrap up the playoff race right now. But the Bucks are playing
the division. So
the Bucks are playing Quinn Ewers. So I'll put that lower on the possibility. Seattle laying 7 here. Total's 42.5. Seattle has destroyed mediocre to bad teams. And I know that there's been a lot of parallels made between this and when the Rams came to visit the Panthers a couple weeks back and the Panthers bowed up. But, and maybe you'll get to the very sophisticated either or trend with the Panthers. But to me, I can't look past the idea that the Seahawks are going to just like it's more likely this is a 21-24 point game than it is the Panthers looking to win the game outright to me. So I'm laying the points. Another one that I would say teaser, pleaser, however you want to play it, really like Seattle this week.
Yeah, and nice rest disparity here. I think that does matter more towards the end of the season for Seattle. And Seattle's just been so awesome on the road. You mentioned it. The Panthers are a team that shows up one week, doesn't show up the next week. Hey, they look great last week against the Bucks. Now they're going to get their butts kicked, in my mind, by the Seattle Seahawks. I think this is a tough matchup for the Panthers defense. I mean, you can throw on this Panthers team and Baker Mayfield didn't. He's just been struggling. I think there was opportunities in the passing game that they did not take advantage of. And again, the Bucs defense just has been really pretty rough here, especially with Todd Bowles as their head coach. I can't remember a Bowles led defense kind of looking this rough here. And I think Seattle's going to take advantage of this. So maybe Carolina gets in on the back door, but I could see them packing it in and just looking to the, you know, essentially the game of the year for the division next week. So give me Seattle laying the big number here.
I think Seattle will also probably be on the first half parlay if you tune into the pregame show. It seems like the it'll be a fast start and we'll see how it goes from there. I mean, what we've just done is created the easiest teaser ever, right? What could possibly go wrong? Cincy and Seattle both laying a point. Love it. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, this is a game that is very tricky for a number of reasons. Steelers are currently laying 3. This was actually 3.5 when we discussed this back on Tuesday for the podcast, Sean. And I brought up at the time, it unfortunately put me on the Browns. It seemed a little big because there's too many scenarios where Pittsburgh, you know, there are scenarios where Pittsburgh doesn't necessarily have to play. Baltimore loses the game. We don't know what Pittsburgh is going to do. And on top of that, is this not the exact kind of situation where the Steelers trip up a little bit and they end up having to need that week 18 game against the Ravens? I'm a Tomlin guy, but I could certainly see that coming. Not a Shador guy, but I'm taking the points with the Browns.
Yeah. I mean, Tomlin after a win as a road favorite, this is like the worst Tomlin spot. And shout out to us and fellow sharp Matt Eumanns, who was also on the Steelers over 8.5 wins. Again, Mike Tomlin, surprise, surprise, another winning season, got home with the 9 wins. DK Metcalf suspended. To me, I'm with you. I do like the Packers to get the win. So theoretically, the Steelers could be resting guys here. That being said, I will take the Steelers laying the 3 simply for the fact that Browns offensive line, I think, is really going to struggle here, especially no Judkins. Not having Judkins to be able to lean on, and that's really what kept them in that Bills game. I think if Judkins didn't get hurt, maybe there was a chance they steal that one. After they lost Judkins, you could really see they could just load up on Shador defensively. I think something similar is going to happen here. I think they get too one-dimensional without Judkins. Again, I want no part of this game, but we pick every NFL game against the spread, Ryan. So for me, this is Steelers laying the 3. I know there's some interesting prop stuff. You have been monitoring the Browns tight end situation. Huh. Bannon popped up on the injury report with a groin injury. That's always troublesome. They claim he's going to be going. I don't know if he's going to be 100%. Are you looking to do something here in the props?
Well, he also claimed that he's going to be going, and we know that can be a death sentence for a player's availability. Yeah. I'm going off of words that coaches are saying. Stefanski said something came up. Sometimes injuries happen on a Friday. You just have to see how it's going to progress to Sunday. Fannin might be able to play. We're going to give him all the ability to play. So I think here's the crazy part that makes me think he might not play. All players are different. You have to let them go through the rehab process. but I think he might play. Blake Whitehart, third string tight end. Look for him.
Yeah, and the Steelers are not good against the tight end. They've let up, I think, 10 touchdowns so far this season. So that could be something they exploit. So stay tuned for that. Of course, coming up next, joined by our buddy CJ Sullivan talking NFL ladders.